Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Another long-running public television series is hitting a big milepost this year. Over the last four decades, Frontline has become the place to see long-form investigative journalism. We'll size up Frontline at 40 next. Also ahead, News No Quickies, our classic trivia question, and the TV side of Tony Bennett. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts, Odyssey, and other podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Wherever you are, thank you for joining us on this Friday afternoon, 82 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. We're past the showers. We're past the rain. Looks like this weekend is going to be absolutely gorgeous, and we welcome you to this Friday afternoon edition of the program all about TV's current and future, as the world is mourning the death of one of the great entertainers of all time. And we'll talk about the TV side of Tony Bennett a little later on in the program. And we want to hear from you. What's your thoughts about Frontline turning 40 on PBS and about Tony Bennett's television work? Give us a call. The number you use is 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. Another way you get involved is our chat room, SimonApple04 by name, and you'll find it at the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televise. While the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. We've got our classic trivia question coming up, and our salute to Frontline at 40. That's coming up after these News Note quickies. FX brings back soccer docuseries Welcome to Wrexham, September 12th for Season 2. Season 1 was nominated for 6 Primetime Emmy Awards earlier this month. Season 4 of popular Hulu tune Solar Opposites begins August 14th. A new batch of American Dad episodes reaches TBS September 4th. Co-creator Matt Weissman was on this program a few months ago, and you can hear that interview that we did, an inter-radio exclusive, I might add, at blogtalkradio.com/televise, our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com, and all of our podcast locations. TV One's next original movie will be thriller A Mother's Intuition, running this Sunday night. And we're sad to tell you that Bill Getty, the co-creator of the long-running daytime ABC series The View, also did a lot of work with Barbara Walters, who was the other co-creator of the program, has passed away. We understand that coronary-related circumstances was the cause of death at the age of 68. Getty won 4 Emmy Awards for his work, not only for The View, a daytime Emmy Award, but he also won for work on Good Morning America and on various Barbara Walters-led programs. Again, Bill Getty, the co-creator of The View, is dead at the age of 68 from coronary-related circumstances. And that is News Notes for today. If you missed our episode yesterday, we have a very big announcement about how we're going to be celebrating our big anniversary the first Monday of August, specifically August 7th. That's when we mark 16 years of doing the program All About TV's Current and Future, and we head straight into year 17. As we did last year when we celebrated year 15, we're going to be doing a two-hour special. Each hour we'll have a TV executive guest for the full hour. And I'm happy to tell you that our opening guest for our August 7th anniversary episode for the first hour will be the president of programming at the CW, Brad Schwartz, the former head of Pop TV. That's the cable network that was involved in a little show called Bleeps Creek, which thereon won a number of Emmy Awards, including Best Comedy Series sometime back, and also gave One Day at a Time, the remake, spearheaded by Norman Lear, starring Justy Machado, a crack at another season when Netflix canceled the program after 3 seasons. So Brad Schwartz will be our lead guest on our opening hour of Tomorrow Be Televised 16th anniversary episode. And yes, he will be live. You can give us a call with your thoughts about the CW and as well as his thoughts about Pop TV and where he stands on the future of the medium. And he'll be with us the entire time. You can use your chat room, use your phone call to make something happen. Again, that's Brad Schwartz, the president of programming at the CW. He will be our lead guest for our special two-hour 16th anniversary edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. That's Monday, August 7th, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And we hope to announce our second-hour guest, hopefully, the coming week. And we want to let you know also that we will have, like we did this week, 3 episodes of our program next Monday, Thursday, and Friday. Coming away next Monday, our lead guest will be, speaking of the CW, they'll be launching a new primetime comedy block with great shows out of Canada. And the first one is going to be a show that's been on the air there for 2 years. It's called Son of a Critch. and it's getting rave reviews. It's already been renewed for a third season. We'll talk to the executive producer of the program, Andrew Barnsley. He used to be on a program called The Office. Andrew Barnsley from the new CW series, Son of a Crit. It premieres Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time, and Andrew will be our guest on our first half hour of Tawabi Televised next Monday. And 1 week from today, one of our guests in the program will be the head of one of Dallas's biggest television facilities, Southside Studios, Stephen Demeer. That's where Queen of the South was produced during its run on USA Network, other shows as well. And we'll find out what he thinks about everything from new TV projects that may use Dallas as their home base to his thoughts about the writer's strike and the actor's strike, which started second week today. That's Stephen Demeer, the head of Southside Studios, 1 week from today, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on the Tawabi Televised. Again, 3 episodes a week for you next Monday, Thursday, and Friday. And now, let's talk about Frontline. When Frontline came on the air in the spring of 1983, there was no program like it on television. No regular outpost for weekly, long-form investigative journalism, where it was commercial-free and episodes would run for an hour, maybe 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours. And thanks to an organization known as the Documentary Consortium and the innovativeness of its members, WGBH-TV, the lead member out of Boston, WNET here in New York, KCTS in Seattle, WTBS in Detroit, and WPBT in Miami, the long-running home of the Nightly Business Report for PBS. Those five stations came together with support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and public television stations and a grant from the Chubb Group Insurance Companies of Time to put Frontline on the air. It was a program dedicated to innovative, independently made investigative journalism, with context offered by then NBC News anchor person Jessica Savage, who would come on at the beginning and the end of the program doing her own original reporting about the topic you would see. I had the chance yesterday to check out the early episodes of Frontline that year of 1983, and you would be shocked at the subject matter. No subject was out of bounds. For example, one episode, an early one, was called In Our Water. Guess what it was about? A contaminated water situation somewhere in the nation. There was also a show called A Chinese Affair, dealing with, you guessed it, Taiwan, and how at that time, back in the 80s, China was trying to do its thing to get Taiwan into its fold. And there was also an episode called For the Good All, another interesting situation dealing with an incident on a local level that had national implications. Savage was on the air for the first year only because she passed away shortly after Frontline season ended. Judy Woodruff, who later would become the head of the PBS NewsHour, became the anchor of the program and was that role from 1984 to 1990. One of the programs of that first series under her tutelage was called We Are Driven, dealing with how workers at Nissan, formerly known as Datsun, were being treated or not in Japan, and maybe the consequences for, at that time, what would be Nissan's first plant, automotive plant, here in the United States. Check it out. It really is. It's like deja vu when you see these episodes for yourself. David Fanning was the initial executive producer of Frontline. Lewis Wiley was the managing editor. And David ran the ship for 32 years. He did a fantastic job. The show covered a wide range of source material. And along the way, it received Emmy Award after Emmy Award in the news and documentary category and Peabody Awards for individual episodes. When David Fanning decided in 2015 to leave Frontline, Rennie Arison Roth took over, and she is still the executive, she is still the editor-in-chief and the executive producer today. Lewis Wiley is still around as managing editor. And from the get-go, Frontline had a distinctive feel. It was nothing was out of bounds. Nothing was off bounds. Names were named. And the show would go to great, each episode would go to great lengths to get its subject matter across to people. It also had some other wonderful elements. One, as I mentioned before, was the reporting and the context given before and after each episode by first Jessica Savage and then Judy Woodruff. And then there was the narrator, Will Lyman, maybe the best narrator public television has ever had. You might say he was Frontline's voice of God, and he was a credible voice of God at last. If somebody wanted to get a point across, Will Lyman could do it to you, the viewer, better than anybody else. And along the way, other narrators took their turn, including the former co-star of MASH, late David Ogden Stiers. And then there was that incredible theme music, which is still around in some format today, written by Mason Daring. It was incredible. Marvelous piece of music. If there was a theme music category for the Emmy Awards back then, the Frontline theme would have won hands down. And it's still playing today, and it's still powerful, percussive, and amazing. It totally fits the format. In 2002, WGBH, along with other public television stations, made an offshoot of Frontline called Frontline/World. It would be run 4 to 8 times a year. It would be sort of their 60 Minutes, a news magazine format where 3 or 4 segments would be done in each episode. The show ran from 2002 to 2010. I wish it was still around today. It's a great format, and maybe WGBH and the Documentary Consortium that now runs Frontline and Now and Then should bring it back. Also, Frontline was one of the first PBS series to really take advantage of social media, take advantage of the Internet, and take advantage of PBS Digital Studios doing original material for each episode. So if you wanted to find out more about the subject matter, if you wanted to see a post-panel discussion about it, you could go to pbs.org. You could go to the Frontline pages. You could go to social media and even PBS Digital Studios content available through smart TV sets and smart devices. Frontline in that was really a front runner in terms of a journalistic program using other media, digital media, to make its points. And along the way, Frontline picked up more than 75 individual news and documentary Emmy Awards and 18 Peabody Awards, 3 of them this year. And in 2020, it also received a special institutional award for overall excellence over its run. Frontline continues on PBS Tuesday nights, usually at 9 or 10 o'clock Eastern time, depending on the length. Their latest episode, which ran last week, dealt with Vladimir Putin and the crisis he is facing in and outside his country. Also, there was an interesting special about truckers and some of the issues that they are dealing with, both in the U.S. and Canada. Frontline continues to be at 40, as current, as topical, as groundbreaking as ever. And it really has been a great starting point for many of the top independent journalists of our day, whether they continue to work in television, public or commercial, or they've honed their craft for film or for the web. Frontline is truly amazing. Yes, some episodes may anger you. Some episodes will inspire you. Some episodes will leave you with multi points of view. But there's one thing you can, and there is one thing you cannot deny. Frontline matters now more than ever on public television, or any television for that matter. And I'm happy to say that many Frontline episodes are available on YouTube. So congratulations to WGBH for making that happen. Where will Frontline go from here? Well, I hope for many more years to come. And I hope that Rainey Aronson-Rath will continue in her role as executive producer. Incidentally, earlier today, we sent an email to WGBH in Boston inviting Rainey to come on the program in the next few weeks. I hope she'll take the invite because I would love to have her contact us and to be part of our program. I'm happy to say that over the 16 years we've been doing Tomorrow Be Televised, we have done anniversary episodes, milepost episodes, such as PBS series as Nature, POV, Point of View, Masterpiece Theater, now Masterpiece, and Great Performances, all with the executive producers of each episode. And if you want to catch up on those programs, you can again go to blogtalkradio.com/televised, and in some cases you can also go to some of our podcast sites, including the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This world needs more programming with context. This world needs more investigative content. This world needs less jump-to-conclusions journalism and more journalism that really explores an issue in depth, as much depth as possible. Frontline, consistently for the last 4 decades, has done that. And we as a nation are great beneficiaries of it. Happy birthday, Frontline at 40. And hopefully many, many more years and decades doing your thing on public television. Again, we would love to have Rainey Aronson-Rath on our program, the executive producer and editor-in-chief of Frontline. We have sent her through WGBH and Boston's public relations people an invite to come on this program, and we will keep you posted. Now it's time for our classic trivia question. We've been offering it all week long, and let's see if we can finally get a winner to wrap up the week. Here's the question. Name one of two 1950s television series starring Reed Hadley. That's R-E-E-D, as in a reed instrument. Hadley, H-A-D-L-E-Y. In the early 1950s, Hadley was one of the top stars on television. Let me give you a hint. Of the two shows, one of them was a police procedural. Actually, was nominated for an Emmy Award for Best Drama Series 1 year on the air. And the second was a legal procedural. I'll give you another hint. Both shows were sponsored by a cigarette company, Philip Morris. And third, both shows you can find episodes of on YouTube. Once again, the question, name one of two 1950s drama television series starring Reed Hadley. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win our two wonderful prizes, a Uber card provided by AMC Networks and a Great Chicago Greatest Hits CD with such tunes as Feeling Stronger Every Day, Saturday in the Park, I've Been Searching So Long, If You Leave Me Now, 25 to 6 to 4, all super hits, the Chicago Greatest Hits CD, and that Uber card from AMC Network. All that could be yours if you get your question answered through email to us today. Remember, when you enclose your email, make sure you put your name and address on it. If you are a previous winner or a guest on this program, you are not eligible. And we don't get a winner by the end of this Friday. We'll post the question first thing tomorrow morning on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's Facebook at Simon Applebaum and Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, play in. Get your TV trivia mojo going. It might be a winning one today. And, of course, all the very best. And, by the way, if you have thoughts about Frontline or our next subject, the death of Tony Bennett, we'd like to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. By now, many of you have heard the news that this morning, Tony Bennett, one of the great entertainers, one of the great singers of the last century, passed away at the age of 96. Now, Tony Bennett never had a television series to call his own. However, in the 1950s, in TV's infancy, he was all over the dial. You name the variety show, chances are he was on it. Ed Sullivan, Perry Como, Andy Williams, The Ford Show with Tennessee Ernie Ford, Kraft Music Hall, any great variety show, Hollywood Palace. If there was a great variety show in the 50s and 60s, Tony Bennett was on it. He also took his a shot or two at acting on both comedy and drama series, either playing himself or playing a character, and he wasn't bad. Tony Bennett was one of the great singing stars. He was a man for all seasons. He was a man for all great classic songs. He appealed to everybody. And, of course, you all know him for that fantastic tune, I Left My Heart in San Francisco. And that was just one of his classic songs. Others were Rags to Riches. And one of my particular Tony Bennett favorites from the 1960s, I believe it was a number one hit, was a song called Who Can I Turn To? It was written by Anthony Newley and Leslie Bricus. It was from their second Broadway musical, The Roar of the Grease Paint, The Smell of the Crowd. I particularly remember how Tony Bennett did the last section of the song. With you I can turn to, with you there's a new day, but who can I turn to if you turn away? Nobody could do that lyric like Tony Bennett did. And when Tony Bennett was not appearing on variety shows, he was also doing telethons, like the Jerry Lewis telethon for the Musculoskeletal Association. And for a number of years, he was a major performer on the Celebrity Parade for Cerebral Palsy here in New York, hosted by the late game show host Dennis James, and presented on WOR, now WWR-TV, in New York. When Bennett came on a telethon, sets were on, and people were loving his wonderful tunes. In the 1970s, Bennett's career ran into a buzzsaw because of personal problems, including drug abuse, bankruptcy, and other things. At one point, he tried to commit suicide. And then his son got into the act and nurtured his father back into performing, this time performing for the MTV crowd. And that decision turned out to be one of the best of his entire career. It led to a really rejuvenation of his career, showing up all over MTV with videos like Stepping Out, the song made famous by Irving Berlin in the Fred Astaire musical with Judy Garland, Easter Parade. And then in the 1990s, there was that amazing MTV Unplugged episode, which later became a record album and a marvelous Grammy winner, one of the few Grammys that Bennett won in his career. And that led to another aspect of his career, the final great highlight of his career, which was his duet albums, singing duets with a wide variety of talents, from Bono to Katie Lang to Lady Gaga, Mark Anthony, and so many others. Each duet album was marvelous. A number of them became specials on broadcast networks and public television. You can still see highlights on YouTube. And it really was one of the great highlights and a great capper of an incredible career, and a career that did include many TV programs. And one other TV you ought to know, when Johnny Carson started The Tonight Show on NBC, Tony Bennett was on the opening episode as part of an incredible all-star of opening night guests. When Tony Bennett sang, he was singing to you. He was easygoing with his personality, with his smile, and also with the lyrics. No matter what the lyrics were saying, no matter who wrote the lyrics, he delivered them to you in a wonderful, intimate, personal, and often joyful way. And it was great to see that television played a terrific role in his career from the beginning of TV's existence almost to the end, currently. What a singer. What a person. Tony Bennett passed away earlier today at the age of 96 here in the Big Apple. I'm going to give you another minute or two if you want to weigh in your thoughts about Tony Bennett from the TV performances you saw, or your thoughts about Frontline turning 40 on PBS this year. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. This is the third of three episodes we have done this week, and I want to thank all of our guests who were with us on Monday and yesterday. Michael Dinner, the executive producer and showrunner of Justified City Primeval, which had a great opening episode on FX Tuesday night. Damian Pellicone, the co-founder and chief executive officer of the Gay and Lesbian Programming Service Reverie, one of the charter members of the new Independent Streaming Alliance. We'll be hearing more about that service and what it's up to as time goes on. And Brian Bassone, or Boss One, the head of Boss One Media, the folks behind the new television service PowerTube TV. And yesterday, we had another super show with the subject of Project Greenlight and the director of the new science fiction film on Max Gray Matter, Nico Winbush, and then executive producer and creator of the popular Netflix series now in season 3, Sweet Magnolias, Cheryl Woods. If you missed those two episodes, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Or check out our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com, or go to any of our more than 20 podcast sites, sites like Acast and Verbal and Amazon Music, Odyssey, TuneIn.com, Podbean, Player.fm, PodcastWise, some of our newest ones like Podcast Addict, RadioPublic.com, Fathom, iBooks, and ListenNotes.com. All of our episodes of Recent Vintage are there for you to enjoy and enjoy and enjoy and share with others anytime you like. I also want to let you know before we wrap things up for today that originally on this program we were supposed to have the creator, writer, executive producer of a TV series that is searching for a home. The episodes have already been produced. It's called Mother, May I Have a Kidney? And we were supposed to have on this program in this half hour, Veronica Reyes Howe. Unfortunately, Veronica decided, given the situation with the writer's strike and the screen actors after strike, that she decided not to be on today's program. She really wants to be on, and once the strikes are settled, and we hope that will be soon, that she will come on this program to talk about this series, and hopefully it will find a home by then. The series, again, is called Mother, May I Have a Kidney, and Veronica Reyes Howe is the creator, writer, and executive producer. And if you didn't hear our episode yesterday, I want to, before we go, also repeat what I said as a comment about the situation with the writer's strike, actor's strike, and the Alliance of Motion Picture and TV Producers. We can have all the picketing we want. We can have all the name-calling, all the back-and-forth rhetoric, all the negativity, all the you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, oh, you're wrong, all over the place. It is not going to come to a settlement. What's going to come to a settlement is everybody getting together, communicating with each other, and getting back to that bargaining table and make a deal. It can be done. The Directors Guild of America did it, and it was ratified by 87% of their membership. If they can do it, Screen Actors Guild can do it, Writers Guild can do it, and the Alliance of Motion Picture and TV Producers can do it. And I hope that the Alliance will finally get its PR act together and do what Ted Sarandos did yesterday on Wednesday night on that conference, on that video interview, which was to say off the bat, we all wanted to have a deal. We didn't make it. Now it's time to be super committed to getting a deal done. That commitment won't be from the picket line, and it won't be from rhetoric. It will be from everybody getting their butts off the table, connecting with each other, and getting back to the bargaining room, lock the door, get a mediator if you need to, and make something happen. It can happen. So let's make it happen now. How about let's make it happen starting this weekend? Wouldn't that be great? And I think we could all appreciate it. And by the way, let's not just think about the writers and the actors. Let's think about the other people that are out of work right now or will be out of work because there's no production going on in Hollywood, in New York, and elsewhere around the country. So it's time to think about the big picture, artificial intelligence included, and let's make something happen, starting now. Again, I want to thank all of you for tuning in today, and again, thank our guests who are with us on our first two episodes this past Monday and Thursday. We'll be back with you for another three episodes starting Monday and continuing next Wednesday and, next Thursday and Friday. Coming up on Monday, from the new CW series, Son of a Critch. He used to work on The Office. Executive producer Andrew Barnsley. He will be our lead guest. And then we'll be with you on Thursday. And on Friday, among our guests, we'll have the owner of Southside Studios in Dallas, Texas, which is really becoming a major home for TV and film production, owner Stephen Demrier. That's all coming your way Monday, Thursday, Friday next week, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And don't forget, Monday, August 7th, we will have our special 16th anniversary episode in our first hour. Brad Schwartz, the president of programming at the CW. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/television. blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's televised, I should say. blogtalkradio.com/televised. And anytime later today, this weekend, check out our podcast and our website, they're available 24/7. The website is tomorrowbetelevised.com, furnished by On Podium, our wonderful friends there, and our podcast sites all over the map. Everywhere from Apple and Google Podcasts, Podbean, Player.fm, PodcastWise, Pod.fm, and many, many other great sites. We'd like to hear from you. What's your thoughts about Frontline and 40? Your thoughts about the TV side of Tony Bennett and your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going. Love to hear from you. Email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. The SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name, where you're emailing from. And if you have a show to know that we think we should highlight, make sure you give us the information about the show. If we use the show on the air, you get the credit. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Also, find me on social media anytime you like. Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. Facebook, LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum. Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. However you communicate with me, I communicate back with you in 24 hours. That's our promise to you, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not stated on the Block Talk Radio or other streamers of this program. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website supervised by On Podium, the Internet's great podcast outpost. Guitarist Vegas is our web coordinator. But tomorrow we televised. I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a fantastic weekend ahead. Back with you on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker to the Radio, and all of our web and podcast destinations. Whatever you're doing, see now and then. Make it safe. Make it great for you and others you love, no matter where you are. Until the next time, stay well, stay tuned, and don't leave your heart in San Francisco. Rest in peace, Tony Bennett.